Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. And if you're joining us late because maybe you got your time screwed up or maybe you just had other stuff to do, which I don't understand, but if anything,
you'd be joining us early.
What's up with that? But see, anybody, you know, you always use the time thing as an excuse. It really doesn't matter if it went forward or
Elizabeth
back.
Elizabeth was our resident expert on that.
Oh, yes.
Elizabeth, you coming in? Oh, I'm here drinking coffee.
Yeah, you're supposed to be here.
Phil's got his headphones on backwards again. I love it when he has his headphones on backwards. That's when I'm sad there's no video. You look a little
sad. That and his baseball cap on backwards at the same time.
Yeah, that would actually be. No, it's. I think it's still backwards.
No, they're not. Who cares? What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah. There you go.
There you are.
Yeah, throw down, Bill.
That's right. I had to go all the way with that.
So we're back with our guest, Bruce Moran. If you missed the first half, well, we're sad for you, but you can catch that on the archive. So, Bruce, this time it's all you this hour. And we got a ton of stuff. You sent me a whole bunch of stuff while we were driving into the radio station.
Sure. I'd like to cover that in the last half hour.
We can't cover that in a half hour. Are you insane?
No, we're going to cover it. Hey, before we go there, maybe we could touch on this missile.
I have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead. Forget the missile.
You know, I'll talk to you Chicago style. Give me some time, you know.
Yeah, we heard your sirens earlier. We knew you were still in Chicago.
No, you could tell. So what Claire said, you know, is formidable and germane. I like to give President Trump credit, you know, for handling all this and all the pushback. He's doing a tremendous job. ISIS is no longer a state, a caliphate state in Iraq, in Syria. Raqqa fell 3 weeks ago. That's tremendous. I mean, you got to say what's good, you know.
Sure.
What he's doing to handle the nuclear crisis in North Korea, great job. Talking to the minister of Japan, the prime minister, they're out golfing today, and they're making sure that they're getting all the, you know, T's crossed and I's dotted. You know, those are the kind of things you need to do. You do the face-to-face. Melania's there. She's talking, you know, about the other side of the equation, the cultural side, helping, you know, ferment those relationships that are needed. They're doing a wonderful job. In terms of the Middle East also, it's just not what happened, like I said, to eliminate the Islamic State. But now we're seeing a turnaround of how independent the Iraq government can be. Do they want to be independent, or do they want to be part and parcel to, you know, the influence of Iran? There's where Claire, you know, was talking about. And what's going on? You see there's a pushback in northern Iraq against the Kurds, and there's infighting going on. People don't know about that. And that's up in the Nivea Plain region. And why would that happen? Well, the Kurds want their independence. They want their own, you know, state. And they voted on it, and it's not in the Iraq Constitution. So there's a lot of pushback coming from many ways. The international community, including the United States, didn't want that vote. Well, part of the vote would have been without the people who were from the region, because they're displaced people and they're refugees. They're in Lebanon, they're in Turkey, and they're in Jordan. And you got hundreds of thousands of people that need to be taken care of, and they're displaced and they're not being fully represented. So their individual rights as indigenous people are not being identified, and the Iraqi government knows that. And that's what's happening there on that end. So there's a fight going on, which Claire is fully abreast of, with the Iranians trying to largely influence the Baghdad government. And then you have the other fight going on with al-Abadi, who is the prime minister of Iraq, is handling in the northern part of Iraq in the Nivea Plain. And what's important about the Nivea Plain? Well, that's a third of the oil for Iraq. They've been without a third of their oil since ISIS took over. So you're looking at 2014 and when Mosul fell, and then their economy was just running on fumes, and they were fighting a major battle. So they recruited, and the United States came in to help with the bombings earlier, but then the United States came in later with President Trump and took care of business with the Russians on the other side. So you had this whole different idea with President Trump inculcated into, you know, make America great, make America strong, Make America Protected, that was in foreign policy also. So that's the beginning of what I wanted to say at this segment. So
what about this Saudi Arabia business going on today?
Now they have ballistic missile.
Yeah, now I mean, that came from about. Yemen, and isn't Yemen kind of sponsored by Iran as well?
Both sides. That's the fight going on the ground.
Right, right.
My question would be, okay, for the United States to protect its borders, we have al-Qaeda influence over there, we have ISIS, and then we have heavy drug trafficking going on there from Afghanistan with the warlords, and that's why it keeps them going. There's a larger percent of the Iranians on that east border that are drug addicts as well as in Afghanistan. So we have – that wasn't mentioned, you know. And hang on for a second.
Oh, sure, no problem.
what? Hang on for a second.
Wait a minute.
That's like something my mom does.
I'm hovering over Saudi Arabia right now.
My mom's like, oh, hold on. Hello? The neighbor. Yeah. Oh, yeah, hello.
Yeah, oh, there you are. Yeah, we were just
stalling for
here.
Time.
Okay. So what I was conveying is there's a larger contingent of understandings of what's going on in Afghanistan itself. And maybe this Safaro was part of that movement earlier. What I wanted to convey also was the importance that as a young jihadi in a family that's practicing the Islamic faith, the young jihadis are taught to kill at a young age. And that's what the mothers are helping them understand and inculcate into their teachings, their practices, and their doctrine. And that's what Claire is saying, but I'm saying it in a different way. What happens is, like I'm saying in Raqqa, if ISIS had control of the passports, and we knew at least 3,000 ISIS fighters had gone back, this is 3 or 4 years ago, back into Europe, that saying Europe is done.
Hmm.
Europe has a huge problem. This was 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Well,
sure.
They've opened the gates and let everybody come in.
If that's why French is exacting more draconian laws, to go in and find out what's going on in mosque or trying to stop the activity because one of those bombers and attackers was from Tunisia. You have a whole slew of different areas of enforcement that need to be covered. They were so lax for so many years that they've been infiltrated, and now that we can use the word exfiltrated, the people that were in Iraq and Syria that were ISIS fighters, they exfiltrate into the countries that they're from. How many, do you remember this? How many people came in from different countries to fight in Iraq and Syria to form the caliphate state?
Oh,
you remember that number?
No.
Can't imagine.
It was over 100. Let's say 100. So if they came in from 100 countries and they go back to 100 countries, what does that mean?
That means we got a problem because they're
everywhere. We got a huge problem.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah. I was talking about earlier on the show, if there are at least maybe 1,000 bombings annually around the world, what does that say? From terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a huge problem.
That is a giant problem.
And nobody's addressing that.
No. And that's why I just don't understand why when these guys pop up and run a bunch of people over or shoot a bunch of people, that they aren't just shipped off to Gitmo and end of story. I mean, why are we wasting our time going through these motions when we know and law enforcement knows and the federal government knows what these people are doing?
Because we have people in our country who kneel for the national anthem.
Well, the other thing is that they want the federal system to work to prosecute them. But I'm going back to what Claire says, they're enemy combatant. They never assimilated, and
that's
they
right.
never will.
Nope.
And they're only here to carry out the action at a time when it's ready for them to do the jihad and murder people.
That's right. And trying them in our courts is just giving them one more stage, one more platform to spread their belief and to get their movement moving forward. They need to just disappear, and we need to move on to the next one and eradicate them. And speaking of that...
That is true. You have to understand there's tens of billions of dollars that are funding the jihad. You have to understand it. What I'm trying to convey here is when I was talking earlier, maybe my point wasn't clear enough, but we have three areas. It's the informal sector, the underground economy, and the black market. And those three areas where all this activity transpires. It's tens of billions of dollars are traveling that we don't know where it's going, how it's getting there. We work in the formal sector, so what we think we're doing is a good job. And from my perspective, we're not. We don't have, they can go black on us. And what does that mean? They can go dark, and we don't know what they're doing, how they're doing it, unless we start working in those circles. We need more covert operators, more people in the CIA, just not drones flying around looking at, oh, we found somebody, and then we, oh, let's go get them. And then you get some collateral damage, and everybody's hollering and screaming, you can't do drones anymore. So you got, there's a lot of problems here that need to be resolved with how we're executing our strategic and tactical operations and what we want to do to make sure they're properly taken care of in foreign policy and domestic policy.
But they're
and
they're,
we're talking about domestic policy. I'm talking now, huh? I let Claire have
yeah, shut up, Bill. Oh, wait, we have to.
So what I'm talking
nice
about
nice job,
here
Bruce.
Is,
can I talk?
Can I talk?
Know,
Chuck no. and I have been working no. in the federal government sector for together 13 years now. 15 years going back to when he's running embassy operations around the world. So, you know, there's a lot of history here of what we know the government is doing, is not doing, and what President Trump is doing really effectively. But then there's all that pushback, and can you imagine what he could do if there wasn't pushback?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, it's huge. And that's why you see all these things happening. And President Trump will tweet, well, it's bad to kneel. Well, it's unpatriotic. Well, it's disrespecting the flag. Well, it's not understanding that people died for you to kneel. I mean, if you want to kneel, kneel on your own time outside the stadium. The stadium is a free zone. It's supposed to be not political. You're making it political. So is that saying the referees can kneel for their cause and the cheerleaders and the pom-pommers can kneel for their cause and all the guys, you know, and gals selling food, they're not happy with what they're doing so they can kneel for their cause and disrupt the national anthem?
Yeah, that's...
See what I mean?
That's yeah. not good.
If
we
can
gotta
give the players the right to do this, then the referees have the right to do this. Then the cheerleaders have a right to do this. Then some people in the stands that think one way, they can do it their way. People in the other part of the stands can do it their way. And people in another part of the stands can do it their way. They kneel when they want to kneel for their cause.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be a football game where everybody's just coming to enjoy the game. It's going to be everybody, you know, promoting their, you know,
well, it's also not going to be a country.
You know, what they think is their wrongs to them as people. This is entirely upside down, backwards, and, you know, crazy to me.
All right, we got
to
take a
break.
We're going to
solve that with capitalism.
Yeah.
We'll take a break and honor capitalism. And meanwhile, if you don't spend money on the NFL, then they honestly can't
right.
do that because...
When we come back, lay off the pom-pommers. I don't want to hear that again.
The pom-pommers. I like that. I thought that was funny. We'll be right back with our guest, Bruce Moran. We're chatting about national security today on We the People.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
For the Bruce versus Bill show.
Pet cockroaches, because I have one, and it sometimes gets unruly. And I take it down the hall, you know, and there's dogs here, and it snares at the dogs. It scares the dogs.
Did you call it a cockroach?
Do covert operations, you know. So, you know, it's got its kung fu together and all this stuff. But, you know, sometimes it gets out of hand.
Exactly.
So can I come to Redding, you know, fly there? Fly into, you know, Sacramento.
You know what? When you fly into Redding, the baggage thing, you know, how normally you've got to look through all the bags to make sure yours doesn't go by. There's only like four, and then it goes back inside the wall.
Yeah. And the lady that takes them off the plane is the one that checks in the security thing when you get inside the terminal.
And sells you the ticket.
And she makes the coffee.
I won't even put my cat cockroaches in the baggage. I'll just come on, just carry on.
I would.
Keep them in my pocket.
I would.
Hey, Bruce, I got a question, and it's kind of off topic a little bit, but not really.
What?
This shooting in Las Vegas, this thing went dark. Was there an IS connection there, or was that all?
I don't want to go there. There's a lot of
shut
areas
down, Bill,
we can talk about. And let's stay away from that one. You found out that
that's
his disk was missing.
Found out what was missing?
His computer disk.
Yeah, there's just there's a lot of fishy stuff going on there, and I didn't know if that was.
We're trying to concentrate, you know, on other things. And
do we get to do that next
Las
time?
The Vegas thing, there's a lot of interplay, you know, there's, you know, the Miramar, they, the security's been working there. You know, they have some of the top security in the country.
Yeah,
Navy SEAL Team 6, I understand, went there and helped secure, you know, the Mandalay. So, I mean, if somebody got through them, it means somebody got through. And they're saying he came in through the elevator. Well, what's going on? You
know,
I'm talking about the freight elevator. I'm sorry.
Do we get to talk about that later?
I don't know. I don't want to. There's too much to talk about there, and I wanted to cover the other material.
All right, we'll cover that thing. You're going to come back, then we're going to talk about that. Okay, so where do you want to go from here?
Do you like the boss of Bruce?
Yeah.
Oh,
hey,
okay.
It's my show.
Right on.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be a co-host. What the hell?
Oh, no,
did I say
over.
Hell?
Rob wanted to be a referee for NFL.
Yeah, he was getting his coffee not too many years ago.
Down and get myself counted and being on national news.
I thought you were going to be a pom-pommer.
Everybody about my being roughed up by the players on the field. They're hollering at me, you know, all that kind of stuff.
That's right. You could file a union grievance.
Being a referee isn't a nice job. You know, you take it. It's a job, you know, and I need more pay. I think they get paid maybe $150. So I think it's worth at least. These guys are making, you know, $5-7 million a year. Why can't they pay a referee, you know, $250,000 to take all that kind of gruff from these guys on the field?
Yeah, no
kidding. Howard at.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't see the referees taking
point,
any.
You know?
They don't make that much money.
Bad. I mean, they got their right, too, on the field.
Nope, you're right.
Well, who knew? I hadn't thought about that.
I mean, tell the players, you know, to cool it, you know?
We did.
So,
we
what
stopped
I really
watching
wanted
years
to talk
ago.
About
yes.
was
back to that.
The getting back to the CFIUS and what we've seen happening with uranium. We call it CBRs, chemical, biological, radiological. You know, we don't want to see any of those attacks upon our shores. And President Trump has been doing a tremendous job. But again, like Chuck and I have been conveying, the mid-level people have to be put in there to enforce this. And to get that border wall up. But I want to get back to this. It's the uranium that was evidently shipped out in yellow cake. And that yellow cake can be used to what? Used for nuclear reactors, but can also be used for nuclear weapons. So what's the score there? I mean, what was going on back in that time when you're taking yellow cake and, you know, shipping it out? Out of the United States, you know, so.
Well,
what are your thoughts on it?
Well, that went out. The story I heard was that, you know, they said, it was against the law to ship it to Europe, but didn't they go out through Canada, and then some trucking company took it to Canada, and then it went out from Canada to Europe? Did they confirm that?
Did you know who the company was? I mean, are you familiar with the company that they had the agreement with?
No.
To enlighten.
It was the Russian nuclear agency. I mean, come on now.
Oh, my God. We should have figured that out. Sorry, that was an easy one.
Yeah.
Always blame the Russians. Darn it.
Yeah.
It's called Rosatom.
Rosatom? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
What the heck?
It's the Russian Nuclear Energy Agency. What in the heck are we doing giving yellow cake to the Russians? Now, I understand, but isn't there a process to go through in the House and the Senate? It's called the USTR. Isn't there, beside the CFIUS process, who's responsible for the trade going on? The Senate approves the trade. And what is it part of the trade that it's okay to trade uranium to the Russians? I don't know who was on top of this and who had oversight in the House and Senate at that time. It's 2010. So if we go back and take a look at that, you know, if you look at the CFIUS process itself, it was Timothy Geithner. I said, wow, you know, what was he doing and who was he talking to about approving this, and what were they approving at the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then who was the chairwoman of the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works? Barbara Boxer.
Ugh, the dumbest member of the Senate? We put her in charge of something?
Well, who handles the yellow cake. That's what.
Perfect.
That's that part of that, you know, Senate that has oversight for it. And we know that Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of the State Department in 2010.
Well, and wasn't Mueller the FBI head of FBI at that time?
We can say that.
Yeah, and now he's investigating the whole thing. It kind of makes him look bad. I think it's kind of
circling around
to a place where he doesn't.
How do you cover your own? How do you cover yourself? Well, you're in charge of the investigation, and you just can't see yourself. Huh?
Okay, who was head of the Department of Energy?
Hold on, it's on your list. Oh, Stephen Chu, Dr. Stephen Chu.
Yeah, and here's a guy that's a Nobel Prize guy and a physicist, and he doesn't understand it. Yellow cake? Going to the Russians? Who did they talk to about? Who did Timothy Geithner talk to? Did he talk to the head of the, USTR? And was there a consensus, a collaborative consensus and approval to have that done?
Well, now,
this is beyond the question of responsibility in the national security realm. What are people doing?
And then why are we
talking to who, and why was this done in the fashion it was done?
Well, and then let's not leave out your last two actors on the list, lest we forget John Kerry, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And then idiot Carl Levin, chairman of Armed Services.
But John Kerry took over Hillary Clinton's spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he became Secretary of State.
Him and James Taylor.
That's pretty casual, yeah. You got a friend.
Why would Russia want to buy yellow cake from us when they can make their own? I mean, they've got nuclear reactors over there that produce the same product. Why would they go through all these motions to buy it from us?
That's the question we need to ask. Timothy Geithner, Barbara Boxer, Hillary Clinton, Stephen Chu, John Kerry, and Carl Levin. Why did you want to sell to them in the first place?
Yeah.
It's a nuclear, it's once it's enriched, it can help with, like I was saying, the nuclear reactors and the weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see a weapon that was shot, from Iran, and they have ballistic missiles. Are they going to be able to weaponize them? One of the things we need to take into account, too, is what Claire was talking about, and I have a very big concern here, is about Iran. Even though the Russians are there, and if you read what I wrote there, they're there watching and guiding. But we don't know, for the life of us, who is doing what to make these ballistic missiles, nuclear. And we may have the Russians there, but the Russians may not be able to be allowed to go into the other sites that the military hold and are doing these tests. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The same thing for Saddam Hussein. We went in there and we did a review, but there was a lot of stuff, you can call it bleach bit, in all the computers. And then lots of money and chemicals and stuff disappeared. We thought they might have went into Syria and then, up there, and he developed some of his chemical weapons from that. But that's another story. So what we're talking about here is the actual yellow cake and what we want to do with it and what in the heck are we getting involved with selling it in the first place. That's the number one question. That's the national security question that President Trump is probably thinking, oh, my God, this is what's going on in the country. I just took this thing over and I got to deal with this. So, yeah, and he's doing a good job. So now they have an investigation going on, finding out what really happened here.
Well, do they actually have an investigation going on?
Yeah, the House launched two different ones, I think.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah, hold on 5 seconds. We've got to celebrate capitalism here again.
Okay.
And not yellow cake and not any of the people on the list. They're all dead.
Don't forget to mention my trained cockroach, too.
And the trained cockroaches and the pom-pommers.
And the referees.
And the referees who are just wholly underpaid. And standing and saluting the flag. Miami Beach, B-O-A-C. Didn't get to bed, I-
last night. On the way to paperback was on my knee. Man, I had a dreadful flight. I'm back in the USSR. You don't know how lucky you are, boy. Back in the USSR.
Taking us back in time, Bob.
Yes. Who's zooming who?
Who's zooming who? Exactly. That is the question.
And it's the Rosatom company, that's the Russian nuclear agency, that was doing business here, but they're also the ones who are running the Iranian facilities. Aha!
Aha!
So, Claire, what are you saying, Claire? Claire is right. You know, there's all kinds of deals that were made, and they're saying monies were put into that foundation that the Clintons ran, and, you know, people have to take a look at, you know, what's going on here, and, you know, a lot of people are just trying to get by, and these people are willing dealing with taxpayers' money, you know, and making these deals.
Well, with big-time national security, too.
And
I mean,
they want to clean this act up, you know. President Trump calls clean this act up, you know, draining the swamp, but, you know, it's pretty pervasive, and everybody has a lobbyist or, you know, somebody that's in there with a special interest that wants to do something. So this Rosatom, I think I'm saying it right, forgive me, Russians, if I'm saying it wrong, part of the Russian Nuclear Atomic Energy Agency, they're the ones that are also in Iran working on their, you know, supporting their efforts for their nuclear facilities. So, again, if in Iran they have outside their nuclear facilities, they're using the enriched uranium for making missiles. Watch out, Saudi Arabia. You know, watch out, Riyadh. You know, that's what Claire was talking about.
Right, right.
So we have a multiple complex, I call it holographic situational awareness problem that, you know, you need to pay a lot of attention to. And, you know, President Trump's been out there, you know, doing these things, and people just don't give him the proper and fitting recognition for the type of hard work this is.
Oh.
As he was talking on TV, he was being interviewed, he says, I got in there, it doesn't be real hard. It's harder than I really thought. And it is. I mean, the pushback is tremendous because there's a lot of money in there with lobbyists and special interests trying to get control of the presidency and trying to move him around. And he's pushing back hard. Good thing he's a billionaire, you know.
Yeah.
We're lucky.
Yeah, no kidding.
Pocket. So the long and the short of it, do you think these players actually did anything illegal, or do they all do this kind of along the fringe of?
No, I don't think this is fringe stuff. I think there's a national security problem here. To be serious about it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know there's national security.
No, the national security problem means there's a violation.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah, because it's looking that way.
You can't screw around with this stuff.
No.
I'll get serious now. Yeah, I talk lightly about a lot of the things, and when I get serious, I'm serious. And this is heavy duty, and it needs to be looked into.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
do you think we have the right?
They want to do it, I'm not sitting there on these committees, but, you know, if there's a Trey Gowdy like that on these committees, you know, let him go out and go full bore and find out who these people are, what they did, and how they did it, to what extent. National security is, I would say, compromised at a certain level, and you can't have it compromised at any level.
Right, right. Do you think we have the
right
people looking into it?
That's my bottom line, talking straight and hard about it.
Right, but do you think we actually have the right people looking into it at this point, or do you think they're still kind of dancing around?
Do you think there's an appetite to get to the bottom of this, or is this just we're going to talk about it?
That's the question. I mean, that's, you know, how many people have been involved in this? And, you know, who are they and to what extent are they going to allow this to happen?
Right. With the amount that has come out now, do you think it's still able to be scuttled, or do you think it's a problem for them?
I don't know what you mean by that question.
All the Kerrys and the Clintons and the, you know, the list, right?
Okay, sure.
Do you think these guys thought they were getting away with it? Now this is all coming out, and do you think enough has been exposed?
They have just as many people to protect them as they do to when they did it. Mm-hmm. So for every one of them, there's 100 people, you know, that relied on them. So they have a lot of people in there. The establishment people, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of people in the federal government.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, but...
Department of Energy, right? The Armed Services, you know, that's the Department of Defense. Claire's talking about the CIA, you know. We're talking about DHS. We want to get our people in DHS. So... You're talking about a lot of people. How many people are in the State Department? There's close to 70,000 people there.
Are there really?
The flip side of that is with all those people involved, don't you think there's a pretty good chance that there's a significant number of them that are not going to be willing to go to jail for the higher-ups that kind of orchestrated all of this? And I think you know who I'm talking about. I think someone's going to crack.
There's a flip side, too. If you talk, then you don't exist anymore.
Well,
yeah, you go on the Clinton hit list.
I don't mean it like that. I mean, they quiet you.
Too simple? Yeah, you mean they just take away your pension? Oh, well, that's doable.
Yeah. I mean, there's the intersection of power and money is big. Now, we're talking about tens of billions of dollars here.
Right.
So a mid-level employee making, I don't know, $80,000 to $120,000 a year, they're like, they don't want to mess with my cockroach, but they're like a little cockroach that, you know, gets hit and they're gone. You know?
Yeah.
I didn't tell you about my cockroach, by the way. I took him out for a walk in our dog park. There were two pit bulls and two German shepherds. Pretty formidable.
Yeah.
And they looked at my cockroach wrong. I don't want to tell you any of that story. It wasn't a good ending for them.
Bill just can't get over the fact that you say cockroach and I say cockroach, and Bill's been telling me for 20 years that's not how you say it.
La cucaracha.
I'm like, it's a cockroach. He just laughs every time. He just thinks that's so funny. He's all, it's a cockroach. It's not a cockroach. And here you are, Bruce, man after my own heart. He knows about cockroaches. I see it's because we grew up in the East. Bill never lived in the East. He lived out there on the West Coast. What do they know from nothing about cockroaches?
Yeah. You go down to Florida, they're as big as, I don't know, they're like 6x8.
Along with everything.
One foot and travel.
Along with everything else there.
Mean ones down there? I thought I saw cockroaches up in Chicago and New York. I go to New York, they got some big roaches there. On the West Coast, you know, L.A., you know, you go down to Florida, no way, baby.
Yeah.
Those things are, you know, you can, it's like roller skating. Just put one on and wrap them around your feet, you're gone.
Oh, my gosh.
Back to the CFIUS process and Geithner, I mean, what was he doing and who did he talk to and who approved it? That's what you want to know. You know, that's the most important factor for these two committees in Congress to take this matter very seriously and find out why they would use their influence to have this kind of transaction going down. They call it a transaction. It's actually a deal with the Russian Nuclear Regulatory Agency, you know, and they got their company, Rosatom. There's like three of them, and they're also in, you know, four of our states. So, I mean... what are you saying and what are you doing and what's going on? I mean, how much is money influence going to do? And I don't buy it, you know. And I don't think those two committees in the House would buy it either.
And why is this coming out 7 years after the fact? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, they're out of office, so they don't control the puppets.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just able to keep it quiet for all that time, and now that all this stuff's being unearthed?
Yeah.
Do they actually know where this stuff ended up? I mean, the story I heard is it went to Europe, but they they're not sure where it went from there. Is that
people
what
trying
heard?
To get enriched, you know, what do you call it, yellow cake or enriched uranium. Turkey's out there, you know, they want to develop some nuclear capability aside from the Iranians and the North Koreans. And, you know, I think Turkey may, you know, at some point have to address that issue with us and what they want to do and how they want to do it, because nuclear capability and having a ballistic missile does not look good out there, you know, where they're at. Well, you know, they got various sundry things with the Iranians and the Syrians, and, you know, throwing another missile in a mix doesn't look good at all. And if you look at what's going on with Assad, you know, he has some 5,000 or more missiles, and, you know, they always think about that being pointed towards Israel. So we have that consideration to make. That's why President Trump goes to Israel and Netanyahu. You know, we know him from the Likud from years ago with our team, and, you know, he's a strong, strong advocate, you know, protecting Israel. And there should be no ifs or ands or buts about that. And if it's making its way to Saudi Arabia from Iran, it's not that far from Israel.
Right.
You know?
Well,
that's
also,
their goal, you
also
know?
Isn't there a
destruction of, you know, the Satan is the United States, and the little Satan is, I don't know if you know they call him this, the Ayatollah. The United States is the big Satan, the little Satan is Israel, and they used to call Britain the little Satan too.
Hmm.
So
is there, I imagine there is, but a threat of this stuff ending up in the wrong hands, and you know, in
it's
light?
Always been that way. But, I mean, it's always been that way. That's why we have our Navy SEAL Team 6 unit, our Special Activities Division. We have all kinds of people that are trained to go out there and get there. You know, they're around the world. They're positioned to go and stop it. But we have porous borders, you know, and God forbid that some of that comes across our borders and gets into, you know, Southern California, Southern Texas.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking
Arizona,
like a dirty
goes,
bomb.
You know, Phoenix or, you know, Houston. You know, Houston just had this terrific problem. But you don't know what's going to go down. And you don't know how these people are thinking and what's on their mind. This guy was gleefully talking about the jihad after you shot him twice in the stomach. That's how they think.
Right.
So, you know, it could be a cartel working with the jihad. MS-13 was said as early as 2005 to be working with Al-Qaeda. You know, so, you know, I mean, what's to say they're not going to, you know, team up with ISIS, and, you know, they're also working with the cartels. See what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
This goes beyond the scope of what most people talk about and what they want to hear and what they can listen to. It's a larger dimension of intersecting nefarious players that can work together. I mean, the group in Mali, the jihadists there, were working with the cartels in South America. You know, they're getting their drugs there, you know. And the big drug cartel that's flowing from Afghanistan goes all through Europe. So you have, you know, not only the drugs, but you have the terrorists. And terrorists and drugs don't sound like it's a good mix to me, you know.
No, but they are logical allies, actually. We've got to take one last quick celebration of capitalism here before the end of the hour. Then we'll come back
I
want
to talk about one more thing. Though.
Right on. We'll come back with our guest, Bruce Moran, who needs to talk about one more thing. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
In my life, I've been wondering why. Still, somehow, I believe we'd always survive. Now, I'm not so sure you're waiting to hear one good reason to try. But what more can I say? Left to provide. You think that maybe it's over,
To my earlier question.
Yeah, heavy on the die.
Our new terrorism policy. All right, Bruce, on that cheerful note.
I would like to refer the audience to the notes that I sent to you. And there was a remark by Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Yes.
And he said this. And I want you to think of this in relationship to what deal went down with the Russians and how he made a statement at the beginning of this year. He called the Russians the top enemy of the United States.
Sounds like Romney.
Okay. Yep. And he said, I asked my Republican colleagues to put country over party when it comes to Russia. So were those who were dealing with the Russian nuclear agency putting country over party or over special interests? Over the, you know, greenback?
Yes.
That's the question.
So what's he know?
Yeah, that's why those two congressional committees are important in trying to make discovery on how all this transpired and what they want to do to make it whole. So nuclear energy is not just in terms of the fusion, but in terms of the weaponry, and it's not out there giving people the capabilities to weaponize the uranium. And that's how I end, you know, my point, aside from my my pet cockroach is sitting here.
Except for that.
Yeah,
hey, but you know, you also have on here the Trading with the Enemy Act from 1917.
That's right, and it violates that. So, you know, that's something you got. if Chuck Schumer's saying they're our number one enemy and we're trading with the enemy, then it's violating the Trading with the Enemy Act. That's usually invoked during wartime, but, you know, we're more looking at Russia as, you know, nuclear capabilities. It could devastate the world as we can. So we're trying to, you know, take our nuclear capability and, you know, diminish that outcome. If you look at the clock, you know, the atomic scientist clock, it's down to 2.5 minutes. You know, so that's not a good sign. You know, it's not a sign where we're saying, you know, North Korea has, you know, started to work well with China to disarm. We're looking at them shooting, you know, missiles over Japan. We're looking at missiles going over, you know, Saudi Arabia. And they just, you know, those are the Sunnis and the Shiite. They have their own, you know, issues, and they got to deal with them themselves, you know. So, you know, if we're talking about the doctrine of Sharia law, who's following it, it doesn't appear that they're following it. If they're shooting a missile over it, you're not supposed to be attacking your fellow Muslims. That's what, you know, Claire knows all about those kind of things in more detail than I, but I'm abreast of it, and I know enough to stay out of trouble. So, you know, I'm trying to make some semblance of mind to the audience that this is very serious business, and those who've been in elected positions have not been carrying out their duty to the country, and it appears that the national security has been violated. And I, for the life of me, they have to be called on a rug for it.
Well, and it's not, like you say, it's not a small thing. This is like at the top of the chart serious when you're floating this stuff around the world. And,
exactly.
I mean,
know,
this is the big Russian
you
scandal.
You get it in the wrong hands, and you know, you're talking millions of people could die. Or
yep.
Areas like L.A. or some big metropolitan area could get contaminated forever. And they're not really treating this like the dangerous product that it is.
That's right.
Well, where does this fit in the whole, you know, we've got like 2 minutes left or a minute and a half. But, you know, the whole Russia scandal, I mean, this is a bigger Russia scandal than anything that they're alleging.
Yeah, that would be the other side of the coin. You say something that somebody else is doing it, that would be a great Trotsky ploy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what Trotsky was, and that's what they used. you create a problem, say the other person did it, and you solve it. So they're saying the Russians were involved. The Russians, the Chinese are always involved in espionage work. We know that. That's a matter of, you know, you just play live and let die. You know, that, and the British know that. I mean, that's what we all do. But to the degree and to the extent of manipulating the election, and to say that when we would never have guessed that President Trump would be president, you know, 4 months out, 5 months out. He was nowhere to be seen up until, you know, the convention. It looked like, you know, what was going on, you know?
Right.
You had Jeb Bush out there, you know, Lindsey Graham. You had Governor Perry and all these, Ben Carson. You would never think that President Trump, you know, had a shot. I thought so. But if you're given the odds of him winning with Hillary Clinton's, you know, popularity and the amount that the Democratic Party put forth to get her elected,
yeah,
the sideline.
And then we keep finding out more about that.
We'll talk about her.
Well, in light of everything that's going on now, I think we got the right guy in there to really shake it up and expose,
right,
expose these people for what they've done and what they continue to do. And hopefully we can get this wrapped up.
We're out of here because the news is cutting us off. But
thank you so very much. God bless America. God bless everybody out there.
Thank you, Bruce.
Take care of your families and see you at the ball game.
Yeah, hey, we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Bruce.
Yeah, I'll see you with the referees. I'm bringing my cockroach just in case something goes down.
Leave the pom-pom girls wrong.
In case there's some bad dogs there.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to find all that you need to know about the show, archives, and all that good stuff at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll have the archive up shortly.
And you're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.